Media.
Welcome to another episode of The Local Podcast, a podcast about all things local, hosted by Justin April and brought to you by Bar Media.
What is up, everybody? This is Justin with The Local Podcast. I am chilling on this beautiful Friday morning, and I've got my good buddy on the phone, Pete Kelly, who is an artist and professional skateboarder from Pensacola, Florida. Pete, what's going on this morning?
Hey, Justin. It's going very well. Thanks for having me on the call and the podcast today. I'm
absolutely
super excited.
Yeah, we've got the first Friday art crawl coming up next, on the 3rd, actually. And just trying to get some info out about Pete because he is the resident artist for Reset Mercantile this round. So, Pete, man, let's talk about yourself. How'd you wind up in Pensacola, Florida? I know it hasn't been it was not a one-way trip.
No, it was not a one-way trip. This is a return back to the roots trip for us. We left Pensacola about 18 years ago after growing up here and having a few retail skate shops and businesses here. And we moved to Atlanta after the storm took out our business and our home.
Yeah,
so
Katrina,
we rebuilt real quick.
That was Hurricane Katrina, right? In 2005?
No, it was right after Katrina.
Andrew.
And yeah, we lost the shop. It was called Innit on 9th and Creighton.
Oh yeah, I remember
Innit. It was about 2,300 square feet. We lost Innit in that storm and shut it down. Of course, lost all the product, which was like a nightmare.
Oh, I bet.
Lost all the great artwork that was in there. And then we came home to our home was destroyed by a few trees. And we decided to just kind of clean it up the quickest we can, get the house back up and running, get the new floors in, the walls, the windows, all of that jazz. And we put it on the market and we sold it and we moved to Atlanta. And I was able to take a job in Atlanta with Surf Expo, which was a trade show company that handles all of the skate shops and surf shop retailers to come and see the newest product that's being offered each season. So a lot of skateboarding stuff in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And
trade shows are always a blast.
They were super fun. That's kind of where I got a lot of my start in doing more stuff within the skateboarding industry. Is going to trade shows, meeting brands, giving them a sponsor me tape or just actually skating with them during that time and building relationships. So trade shows are very important. I think they still should be surviving and it should be a lot of fun, but also I think they should be opened up to the public.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, that way they can, like your customer base can see what's coming out and they can get excited about it too.
Yeah, I really do enjoy 2 days business, 1 day open to the public to kind of see what's
just
going on.
Through.
Go
yeah.
see your, you know, go see your super pro that you love and watch them, you know, throw down some tricks and skate and have a good time and, you know, look at the companies and what kind of product they have coming for the next seasons or something. But Pensacola came back around though after 18 years of being in Atlanta and owning a few shops there and also running a few different other businesses, marketing consulting firms that we owned. We decided it was time once our children got old enough to move back to Pensacola to one, be somewhere a little bit quieter, back to the water, to the beach, and be close to my in-laws because they live here and they are just gathering in age and they need a little extra support than they did before.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good move. Super excited. And can't complain. I love Pensacola, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Dude, it's a great town. I remember like for the Dothan kids growing up skateboarding, we would go down when Paul Kalis had Deep South Skate Park. And he was gracious enough to leave us the keys and let us spend the night in there because he knew we drove 3 hours to come hang out for the day. And he'd be like, yo, you guys can just spend the night if you want. And, dude, sleeping in a mini ramp, there's nothing like that.
Yes, I've done it multiple times there at Deep South.
Oh, yeah.
many a nights of hanging out with the fellas and maybe drinking a couple cold beers and enjoying, you know, a lead session and just saying, okay, cool, I'm just going to lay down right here. What a wonderful place. And Paul is an awesome dude. I still talk with him almost every day. Great, great friend of mine, amazing photographer, but also he has a lot to do with the scene in Pensacola during the earlier days when Deep South was put up. And I'm happy I got to know Paul. I've known Paul absolutely. Since he was 13. We skate the Eastgate curbs together when he was a kid. And he lived behind Eastgate, and those curbs were amazing to skate, all yellow curbs, super long. And that's where I met Paul for the first time as a little kid. And I just took a liking to him. And here it is, I don't know, 30 well, years later, yeah. I'm still talking to the dude.
I was gonna say, don't date yourself. Don't say how many years. People think you're too old.
I don't mind saying the years. I'm kind of, at this point in time.
It's a badge of honor at this point. Years.
You know, I'm 50 and I'm very happy of what I'm doing at 50. And I'm very, very grateful that a higher power has allowed me to continue to ride my skateboard, express myself, do artwork, raise my kids. Like, I'm very excited and grateful for the universe to kick that back to me. I have to say that.
Right. You've worked with some pretty interesting characters outside of Paul. I mean, Paul's obviously a great dude. But I know you've worked, I mean, you came up whenever Chris Markovich did our mural for Reset's Wall. Talk a little bit about how that aspect of your career has been. Like managing talent and artists and just different athletes and whatnot.
Awesome. Yeah. For many, many years I've owned marketing companies, and those marketing companies have utilized the vehicle of skateboarding to promote other people's products and endorse their initiatives that they may have for their product.
Sure.
So within that process, of course, I'm friends with a lot of guys that are skateboarders.
Yeah.
I'm a skateboarder. And there would be some great opportunities that we could build on endorsing a product or, mm-hmm. or using the imagery of a skateboarder or the artwork of a skateboarder to promote their product.
Yeah.
And I would negotiate the programs. I would set up the production if it needed any type of production mm-hmm. ability, videography, photography, you know, graphic arts, if it has to go to social media, whatever it needs, we did the beginning, middle, and end for the client. And then in return, we would bring in pro skateboarders, like Chris Markovich is definitely one of them for sure. We did a lot with Chris, and mm-hmm. he continues to do amazing within that world of art and skateboarding and endorsements on products. Still amazing skateboarder. Shout out to Chris for just destroying it constantly.
Oh, absolutely.
We have also kind of done something different. We have taken a liking for the last 20 years in the mobility sector of technology. That means working with the carriers like AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, mm-hmm. and supporting them and their initiatives on what's cool for youth marketing.
Yeah.
And of course, I always insert skateboarding. That's who they come to me because they're looking for skateboarding relative activations.
They'll come to me. Skateboarding is like the fountain of youth anyway.
Oh my God, is it ever? I have to. That's some facts right there.
Oh, 100%.
Total facts, Justin.
Right.
and anyone that you see that has been skateboarding for a long time, they don't get winded easy.
Right.
I don't think that they are having a hard time with everyday mechanical body movements and exercise or physical exercise. Skateboarding makes you pretty tough.
Oh yeah.
It really does. And it makes you pretty determined. And I think when you're tough and determined, you create this success of endorphins, which then keeps you young.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
If that were, hey, look, as many times as on a skateboard, we have this, and I don't know if I can use profanity, but we have this oh shit factor. Oh my God, I'm gonna fall.
Right.
Every time you have that, your whole body just releases this endorphin energy.
Oh, you get, yeah, you get that standing still cardio.
Yeah. And then when you land it, it immediately becomes the biggest relief in the world because you did this huge ollie, you made it over the shopping cart, you put the back wheels down, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So it became a fright tactic at first, which can create all these endorphins, and then it became a celebratory tactic next, which means like you have this amazing amount of relief.
Yeah, and for after your accomplishment.
It's so, and I hate to use this word, but runners do it. It's so addicting ride a skateboard. For me at this age, and I'm not saying it's not addicting to anybody at any level, but me at this age and at this level, that it's really a part of second nature. Sometimes I could skateboard better than I could walk. I'll get hurt walking, but skateboarding I won't. It really takes me to another place that is extremely addicting, which then allows the cardio to come in place, which Max actually allows you to feel younger.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it, runners get this thing called runner's high.
Yeah.
And they absolutely cannot wait for the next day to get that 37 minutes into their run and it just reacts.
That's a lot of steps.
And you're like, whoa, okay, hey. We're in there. We're somewhere. This is the runner's high or the skater's, you know, high while you're skateboarding, coming from skateboarding. Let's not get anything confused.
Yeah.
That's where the best tricks happen.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like you get to that point where for me, I'm not even thinking about the kickflip to back disaster on a quarter pipe. I'm actually thinking about like my taxes or like, is everything cool with my family or something else?
Yeah.
Because you're at that, like
being at the skate park's like being at the spa. You're just relaxed. And it's like being in the shower where all those random ideas that you were trying to find just come to you.
Yeah, and after 5 days of being in the house right now, or 7 days being in the house right now.
Oh, that's right. You got a COVID kid right now, huh?
Yeah, I have one. My son has COVID, so we're all being very responsible, and we're all staying quarantined until he becomes negative, and we have a proof of negative for ourselves just to kind of have respect for the others out there, because I show no signs of COVID. And I'm just terrified. Maybe I'm that person that could carry it, but don't show signs of it. Yep. So,
yeah, better safe than sorry. For sure.
Yeah. Plus, I want to stay healthy. I'm trying to go to South Florida week.
Yeah. Right.
Next week. So I want to stay healthy for that.
Well, how did you get into the art scene down there?
The art scene. I don't even know if I even got into a scene. I started doing art during COVID because my second daughter Evan is an art student at Georgia State.
Okay.
And she was like, Dad, you used to always do fiddle art with me. That's why she became an artist. And I stopped doing all of like the fiddle art for many, many years. And then during COVID, all of us had to find something to keep ourselves occupied, or we were going to have, you know, yeah, we had, you know, three kids, a grandchild, me and my wife all in the same house with two dogs. Like, and my daughter gave me some of her paints. And then when she gave me some of her paints, she said, you should just paint something. So I went in a garage and I started painting whatever. And then she gave me a piece of canvas that somebody else painted on, and I tried it. Mm-hmm. And I liked it, but it really wasn't like 100% what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And plus I was kind of like, I'm so new at this. I don't even know how to use canvas. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I used to own a record store for many, 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 many years. And I had hundreds and hundreds of records in the, without the record in the record album, meaning the record missing, but I had this cover.
You had the covers. Yeah.
So I started painting on record album covers and utilizing the imagery that I saw in the record album cover to be creative and create my own imagery.
Yeah.
And I did that for 365 days straight.
Oh man, that's awesome.
And I made a pact with myself. A new habit will form in 21 days if you let it.
Sure.
So I'm going to try a new habit of just going in there and trying to figure out what I'm doing with art and what I want it to be. But more than anything, after 21 days, the art became an emotional dumping ground for me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what became addictive, because you're in a house with a ton of kids screaming. Everybody's got music. Everybody's got video games going. People are trying to do studies. People are cooking at all hours. It was just nutso.
Yeah. I mean, you got to figure out a way to get that, get the peat time in, you know?
I couldn't go skate because the skate park was closed.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could skate my neighborhood. Totally went on longboard rides constantly.
You were still in Atlanta at that time, right?
I was still in Atlanta in a suburban neighborhood, and when it went lockdown, everything went lockdown. Basically, even if you walked out your front door, the people were looking at you weird.
Yeah.
Like, so we literally stayed in that house for that whole year, and I trained myself to not get upset within the household, but to go in the garage and paint those emotions on a piece of paper, on a record album cover, and just like I never thought in a million years, Justin, and the people that are listening, that I would find something I like as much as I love skateboarding.
Right. That's a tough thing to come across too. Like for me, photography was always that second level, that second love, beyond skateboarding. And that's what has gotten me to what I do for a living now. Just owning a newspaper is like, the camera is what got me there, and the skateboard is what got me to the camera point.
Absolutely. Shooting your homies.
Yeah, dude.
Shooting your homies.
When you grow up with a dude like Chad Foreman, who's been shooting forever and like has been featured in National Geographic, like it's real easy to get real inspired real quick. I remember being in the dark room with that dude when he lived in Birmingham back in like the late 90s. And we were developing our own slide film. We were doing like, we had the full blown, we were doing our own prints. Like it was just a blast. I had never seen a dark room in somebody's house. And I was like, oh, this is just like all the cop shows where you got this red light and you got to splash this water around until the criminal comes through.
Nice. Isn't it funny that even skateboarders tend to take their other hobbies as serious as they take their skateboarding?
Oh yeah.
Which makes them better.
Yeah. Cause that's like that's the baseline for passion. Is if I want to do this as much as I want to ride a skateboard, then we got to go all in.
Yeah. And you know, that's such a true fact. I levitated towards art because my children that I trust more than anyone else in the world to tell me, yo, dad, this is cool. That's not cool. Dad, go do this. No, that does look good. Right. Because I am like my worst critic. I'll be like, everything is not good at all.
Right. How do you define the type of art that you do nowadays? Like, I know it's definitely evolved over the last few years.
It has. And thank you for asking it. I consider my art emotional art, emotional dumping ground art. A lot of my art is truly what I feel at that moment. Sometimes a piece will take 5 minutes. Sometimes a piece will take 5 days.
Yep.
It all depends. Of course, a lot of my emotional art comes from relationships, right? Relationships with children and other humans. So It's human emotional art, meaning that a lot of my art pieces, you'll see two people in there communicating one way or the other. You'll see a lot of circle and square heads. You'll see a lot of abstract backgrounds and colorings. And you'll find a lot of hidden messages in what I put in there, because if I put the messages in there, they're, yes, ultimately, if you can figure it out and read it, you'll probably feel what I'm feeling currently in that moment of painting. I'm not trying to be a style in general, because skateboarding, I've morphed the style in skateboarding that I've had for a billion years because it just felt right. You know, that snappy feeling. I know the style that I have because I've been skating forever and it's enjoyable. That same kind of style feeling comes when I paint.
But yeah, having that individual style and that feeling of familiarity is what really develops people's, I mean, individual vibe, where you can, it's recognizably you, you know what I mean?
That's what I hope for, to be honest. Like, you know, I always relate everything back to skateboarding, because skateboarding is just about, you know, everything that I base a lot of my life on, in style sense. And no one's gonna, you know, you could tell it's Christian Hosoi when he's doing a trick.
Oh yeah.
You could tell it's Stevie Williams when he's doing a trick.
Yep.
You can tell it's Jamie when he's doing a trick. Those styles are embedded and fed to us for many years. That's what I hope to succeed with my skateboarding, and then now with my art, because skateboarding is great and I totally love it. But the older that I get, and this is, you know, 42 years, 43 years into the game of having a skateboard next to me my whole life.
Right.
My body is not the same as it was when I was 40 or 30 or 20 or so on.
Yeah.
And I want something that gives me the same feeling.
That's sustainable.
In my life.
Yep.
So the switch over, and I'm not saying it's a switch over because I think I'm going to skate forever.
Oh, sure.
Even if it's just like slapping a curb, you know,
yeah. Or
just cruising down the street. Yet, I'm not ready for that yet, though. I'm ready to learn more tricks on skateboard.
I was going
to
say, there's still a lot more. I mean, it's fun regardless whether you're popping your tail or not. But like, you still, there will always be, I feel like every skateboarder has this in them. There will always be that mental voice that's just like, yeah, you got that. You know you got that. And then, yeah. You know you can do that. And then you'd go for it. And then it's that voice that makes you who you are as a business person and as an artist and as a skateboarder. And I feel like a lot of us could benefit from leaning into that, to like recognizing what that voice is saying and really chasing down what brings you joy and what makes you feel accomplished and what can make you feel proud of what you're doing. You know?
Man, that's the biggest word right there. Make yourself feel proud of what you're doing. I go for that every single day. From the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I want to make myself prouder for what I'm doing, for sure. It's really nice when others, because we wouldn't put it out there, when they recognize. And when they recognize, it's like, holy shit.
Oh yeah.
This is so fucking cool. Like, all these people are like, for me, what drives me is I'll post a little skate video. And, you know, I go on my lunch break, basically, and I'll go to the park and I'll shoot some video and then I'll post it back up and I'll be like, yo, I just shot this at lunch. And a lot of messages come back.
Yeah.
I say, yo, man, that's super inspiring. And then I start to see some of the names on the messages and I'm like, whoa, like I looked up to that dude and he said that. And then that guy was like, you know, everybody wants their ego stroked.
Sure.
Everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
As a child and being as a parent, when you support somebody's ego that did a good job, what they've done is really nice, is cool, and we dig it. And, you know, really when you stroke the ego and you say, look, I'd like to buy it because we know if we buy it from you, we'll have something special.
Sure.
Right. And then we know if we give you the money, it's going to go to the right things. Right. So mm-hmm. like that transaction feels really good to them. And it feels really good to me because I can bring home some money for my family to continue going to college for those kids or continue to pay the rent or, yeah. you know, water bill or whatnot. And
then it doesn't seem so much like
provide. Work. Well, I think that anything you do in life, no matter if it's your passion, hobby, your enjoyment, it's still work.
Yeah.
It's always still work getting up and well, for me, it's, you know, if I do get up, then I say, okay, good job. You got up. Yep. Next step. What's the next step? Right. I don't want to do the next step. Well, I'm going to get coffee and then I'll do the next step.
I will let everybody coffee, know. I'm trying
yeah.
to, I'm trying to get our Mural City coffee truck here for the art show.
Well, that's what I was saying. If anybody brings me free coffee during the hours of 8 to from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the 3rd, during the First Friday art crawl, I'll give them a small free piece of art because I am a coffee fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. White chocolate mocha made with soy milk, no whipped cream. I am a coffee freak. And that's what keeps me going. If anybody ever wants to know, I'm not a drinker. I'm not a partier. But, bro, give me the coffee, please.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Coffee and cheesecake all day long, bro.
Oh, dude, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to it. Actually, we've I'm interested to see what all you're bringing up because we've got a pretty decent sized space that you can fill up, and I know some of your pieces are like up to what, 6 foot. Or I know you got
yeah.
some pretty husky boys. On
yeah,
the,
well,
in the collection.
Yeah, I think we're going to bring a total of 12 36 by 48s.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few 36 by 36 pieces,
yep.
like only two of those. And then the rest is going to be all small record album covers. And so everybody can, you know,
yeah,
if they come by and see it, they can get a piece of that stuff. It'll be lower cost for sure.
Right.
And I'm going to give out some free stickers from Courage, my brand that I own. And it's just as Courage. There's no crazy message outside of
right.
it, outside of being Courage.
Yeah.
And I'll be there to answer a lot of questions and talk to people. And if anybody brings me any kind of white material, tablecloth, I like to paint on tablecloths. I like to paint on thick paper.
Right.
I'm going to bring a lot of weird stuff that I paint on.
That's so yeah, like 3 foot by 3 foot, all the record covers. That sounds awesome. How do you display those record albums or those album covers?
The album covers will normally I display them by a system that me and a friend made where they just kind of slide in a long, like, one by one.
Little channel deal, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I just did an art show at the 309 Punk Project House in Pensacola,
mm-hmm.
where they had me there for 17 days, and I was able to put my artwork up in the whole studio, which is an old school Victorian house, and then have a room that I can paint in, and people would come and hang out and talk
oh,
and watch me
live.
Paint.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was all downtown. It was super fun. We had a grand, like an opening event and then a closing event with them. And that's what really kind of got me to keep moving forward is that the response from that show was really cool. And everybody was like awesome to me.
Yeah.
I sold some pieces. I was able to meet some other people and, you know, some of my favorite artists that are around here came to support me, which now I feel like I found a little bit of a community, kind of just like skateboarding gives you.
Oh, yeah.
The cool thing is that there are a lot of skateboarders in the art community.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
It's
and I mean,
very.
And then
common.
You got the loyalty where skateboarders want to include all other skateboarders, just like. it's fun to work with your family, you know, like everybody's looking out for homies and wants the best for all their homies.
You know what? It's 100% true right there. They want the best for all their homies. And it seems like when something's happening, everybody gets together and, you know, no one's going to go thirsty. No one's going to go hungry, and everybody's going to get the attention. That makes it for a really good recipe for fun.
Oh, 100%. You know? I always say everybody, we're all included. Here. Oh, go ahead, man. Sorry.
Yeah. What I'll do at the show is I also, when I come to your place, I'll sit down and I normally bring a stack of pretty thick, like cardboard papers and a bunch of markers, and I'll just start drawing things out on those, and I just give those out to free to whoever comes in the door. They get a little something. They may have a little message on there about courage or, you know, do your best or something. I love doing that because everybody gets to leave with something. They don't have to open up their pocketbook for me on that. And they and make them feel like they're a part of something. And it's a little bit individualized as well, because sometimes I look at the people and I take some of their features from their face or their personality and I add it into the artwork, and it's clearly 100% for them.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it would make a difference until I did it. Like the second night I did the opening in Pensacola at the 309, people started posting them. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And it was just something really super small. It didn't really take me a lot of time, but it meant so much to the people that showed up and got one.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing that as well there while I'm there with you guys.
Well, yeah, dude, that sounds awesome. So that'll be February 3rd. Your stuff will be up here or up at Reset for the whole month of February. So yeah, if anybody wants to come out and hang out with us and have a good time at the shop, swing through on the 3rd of February between 5 and 8. Actually, you could probably swing through earlier. Pete's going to be here all day. We got to get all this stuff hung. So yeah, swing through. Yeah, and man, I really appreciate you hopping on this call this morning.
Thank you, Justin. I do appreciate it. I'm really stoked about First Friday Art Crawl on the 3rd of February from 5 to 8. I'll be over at your location chilling. I know beforehand, maybe we'll get a little street session outside something, a little skateboarding to warm us up before we go in and sit and play with artwork. But, you know, I appreciate everybody listening. And I appreciate the support, and thank you, skateboarding. Thank you, Reset.
Absolutely, dude. No worries. Anytime. I will give you a shout later, man. Enjoy the rest of your day, and yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. Enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Peace, buddy.
Peace.
Bye-bye now.
If you're interested in having your story featured on the local podcast, hit us up at wiregrasslocal@gmail.com or give us a shout on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at the local podcast. Thank you.